Good morning. Good to see all of you. Glad that we have been blessed by our Lord to be able to be together and to worship Him. It's good to see Sister Karen James here. Some of you may not have seen her, but she's with us. It's good to see her. She's been visiting family in Seattle. She'll be going back home tomorrow, but we wish her well. It's good to see her again. And sharing the good news and the joy and the birth of Natalie Emma, and glad that everything is going well for her and mom and dad and grandpa, grandma, and et cetera, et cetera. I'd like for us to study a little bit this morning about what the devil wants. Now, in one sense, we might think, well, I don't care what he wants, but you know, the reality is we better care what he wants because he wants you. We'll get back to that in just a minute. The Bible says in Ephesians 6, 10 through 13, if you'll look at that verse with me this morning, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." And then he continues to describe that armor, and we'll allude to that through our study. But you note with me that a couple of things here. The appeal to find our strength in the Lord is obvious in this text. And yet one of the wiles of the devil is to convince us that we can go it alone. And we forget about the power of the Lord in time of temptation, in time of trial, in time of battle. And so rather than appealing to self-reliance, you know, as Americans, we love self-reliance. But when it comes to this spiritual warfare, this wrestling match, we need help. We need the power of the Lord in order to have victory. And so he says, put on the armor of God that we may be able. One of our songs, you know, if we in our own strength relied, our striving would be losing. A mighty fortress is our God, the song says. The idea of wrestling is not the putting on a show that evidently goes on TV and coliseums and all that these days. It's more akin to, and even this is a refined aspect of it, of the Olympic wrestling matches. The idea of wrestling is this contest between two people where the one is trying to throw the other, and not just throw him, but then pin him. And anciently, you know, you got your hand on his neck. You totally defeat that person. It's close quarters. it's a struggle. And Paul uses that term to talk about what we're engaged in when he talks about our wrestling. We're in a wrestling match. The devil wants to dominate us and destroy us, and we need to be aware of his tactics. You know, the wrestler would want to study his opponent, anticipate his moves, counterattack, overwhelm, and be victorious. We understand that in any sporting event. But this one's much more important than all of those, because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're talking about a spiritual struggle. Now, where are we going to find our power, our strength, in a spiritual wrestling match? Ourself or the Lord? The world? Obviously not. And so, Just as the wrestler wants to try to dominate his opponent, the devil wants to dominate us, and we need the power of the Lord to overcome that, to stand in the evil day, in the day of calamity, in the day that is evil. That's the day that he wants to win the day. He wants to stand and be victor. But we can stand and be victorious in the Lord. When we put on His armor, it's a spiritual armor, and by doing that, have victory in Christ. We said a moment ago, you see, we need to be concerned with what the devil wants, because he wants me and he wants you. He wants all of us. He doesn't just want an arm or a leg. He wants every bit of us. In John the 13th chapter, you remember Judas. The devil had already put into Judas's heart to betray Jesus. And then in verse 27 of John 13, it says, the devil entering into his heart, he left and actually did the deed. The devil wanted and got Judas. He wanted Peter. He wanted to sift Peter like wheat. You know, like you throw up the chaff and let the wind blow it and scatter. He wanted to just scatter Peter to be totally ineffective, useless to Jesus. That's what he wants to do to us. He wants to scatter us to the wind so that we are useless in the cause of God. You know, in Acts 13th chapter, where we learn about a man named Elymas. Paul described him as the son of the devil. The devil had Elymas, but he wanted Sergius Paulus. You see, the fact is that over and over the scriptures describe this wrestling match and describes the desire of the devil. And it teaches us that he's not content with Judas or Elymas. He wants you and me. That's what we want to discuss a little bit this morning. What he wants as he tries to take us, and what we need and must have and can have, and what God has made available to us in Christ to withstand and to stand victorious in Jesus. For example, this is not exhaustive and we're not going to spend a lot of time on any one of them, but the devil wants lies in the place of truth. He does not abide truth. He wants lies. He's the father of lies, John 4 and verse 44. And so what he wants from you and me is to shave the truth. He wants us to become liars. He wants to attack our honesty. The Word of God says, speak truth each man with his neighbor, Ephesians 5:25. But the devil wants to chip away at that. He wants and tries to convince us that truth is not always, honesty is not always the best policy. And so we begin to lie, fudge, you know, hold back. Don't fully be honest where we ought to be. In business? On forms? What about if you're taking out a loan? Are you going to be honest on that application? What about your taxes? What about to your husband or your wife, your mom or your dad? Are you honest with yourself? You see, more than anything, if the devil can get you to not be honest with yourself, he's already got you. He's got us if we're not honest with ourselves. Because then we'll easily be dishonest with somebody else. The devil wants lies. He doesn't want the truth. You see, and so he attacks the truth of God's Word as well. He rejects that himself, and he wants us to reject it. And he's doing a pretty effective job in a lot of places. You know, John the 8th chapter, Jesus stands in opposition to that with those who are rejecting his Word. He said in verse 37 of John 8, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my Word has no place in you. Now, he had already said his word is truth back there in 31 and 32. If you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But these folks that were opposing Jesus. He says, there's no place for my word in you. Well, that's the devil's work. 45 through 47. Because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. He just said, Satan's the father of lies. So when I tell you the truth, you don't believe it. So you're of your father, the devil. Which of you convicts me of sin? If I tell you the truth, why don't you believe me? See, if we don't believe the truth that comes from Jesus, the devil's got what he wants. He's got what he wants. He wants us. He doesn't want us to be fully committed to truth, to honesty, and to the truth of the revelation of God's Word. And that's why Paul says, no doubt, in Ephesians 6:14, gird up your loins or your waist with truth. The armor that God gives us, His armor, to give us victory in this wrestling match with the devil is truth. But we've got to prepare ourselves. To gird up the loin was to make yourself prepared and ready for the battle. The robe had to be pulled up, tied up, so you'd have free movement, free access, and ability, agility. So, are we doing that? Have we put the belt of truth on? Do we wear that every day so that we can move and manipulate through the struggle, the wrestling match with liars and deceivers and the temptations to lay truth aside and lay the Word of God aside? That's what the devil wants. He wants lies instead of truth. We've got to commit ourselves to gird ourselves with truth. And speak it in love and walk in it, loving God and loving His Word. The devil wants darkness rather than light. Right? In 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4, look at how the Word of God describes this aspect of the devil. He wants, rather than light, he loves the darkness. It says, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So the gospel is light. But the God of this age, the God of this present world, He wants us to stay in darkness. Jesus brought light. In John 1, I think about verse 5, it says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. But the devil wants to keep us in darkness. And so he works hard to blind people's minds to the gospel. Oh, I've never done it that way. Oh, my father and my mother, they don't believe it that way. Oh, you mean if I believe it that way, then I'm sending folks to hell. I'm doing that. Anything he can use to keep us in darkness, so that the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, will not shine. That's what he wants. Darkness hates the light. Light exposes sin. And so his job is to not let the light of the gospel shine. We're the light of the world. We're children of light, Ephesians 5 says. So we're to walk as children of light. We're the beneficiaries. We've received the benefit of the light of the gospel. The devil wants you not to shine, not to let the gospel be a part of your life, because when that is the case, then rather than showing light and help to others with light and truth, they only get darkness. So the armor says, shod your feet with the gospel, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, I know he's talking about shoes there and preparing our feet, but we're supposed to walk as children of light, Ephesians 5:8. We're supposed to be able to have a foothold, not slip and slide and fall, And the light of the gospel shows us the path. We need the gospel. We need the good news to walk in. People all around us are in darkness. They don't know God. They don't know morality. They know themselves. Or they think they do. They don't even know themselves. But they're guided by themselves and selfish desires. The light of the gospel is a magnificent message of a Savior who saves us from sin, who calls us out of darkness into His marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9 and 10. And so, the devil wants to keep you in darkness. Open the gospel. Put on these shoes. Prepare your feet to walk in the light of the gospel and have peace. Peace with God. Peace with others. Peace with yourself. That comes through the salvation that's in Jesus. The devil, he wants a place to stand where no ground should be given to him. He wants an opportunity. He's just looking for a foothold. He just wants a beachhead. And then he'll storm the beach. Then he'll seek to rule the day. Well, Ephesians 4, where it says, give no place to the devil, his point is, don't give an opportunity for sin. Put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Don't give an opportunity for the devil through lies. Don't give a foothold to the devil by seizing on to anger. Resolve that. Because you see, he just wants the crevice opened. He just wants to, you know, open the curtain enough, get in there just enough, and let him stay there, and it'll be more than a crack, it'll be more than a crevice. It'll keep growing to his benefit and our shame. So the Bible says, stand fast. Be courageous. Stand fast in the faith. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13. Whom withstand steadfast in the faith. 1 Peter 5, 9. We have to say, I'm not going to give the opportunity to start with. You know, we know what the Word of God says on as God's people. He teaches us about morality. He teaches about goodness and righteousness and holiness. We're to be growing in that understanding. But you know, the devil looks for the opportunity that says, well, I know you know what it says, but... And then rationalize, make an excuse, make an exception in our thinking for ourselves. And that's his opportunity. That's his place to stand. Well, I know a lot could be said about that, but in Ephesians 6 and 16 it says, take up the shield of faith with which you're able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. You see, the fiery darts of Satan, he's trying to find a crack in the armor, a place for the arrow to go through. So he says, take the shield of faith. Trust the Lord's way, that it is right, that whatever the devil's temptation in the moment, it's a lie. It's a lie. It doesn't work out that way. Shield of faith. Trust that the Lord's way is the right way. Because the devil's looking for his opportunity. And we can't give it to him. The devil wants confusion where there should be order. Remember in 1 Corinthians 14th chapter, they had a problem there in the church in Corinth with confusion in the use of the miraculous spiritual gifts, which should have edified and built them up, but instead they were using them selfishly and in a very disorderly way. And so Paul had to teach them about that. He said, God is not the God of confusion, but of peace. And again in verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. The devil wants instability. Well, we're living through it in our society right now, aren't we? Not that we weren't last year, but it becomes more obvious at times. Of course, we need to be keen on that and perceptive of that always. But a lot of disorder, a lot of chaos, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of disturbances, and that's exactly what the devil wants. Now he'll have it in the kingdoms of men. The God of this world, the prince of the power of darkness, he'll have that in the hearts and lives of sinners. But we must not give him that place as the people of God. We must have the shield of faith before us, a faith that is anchored in the gospel of peace, a faith that is secured in truth, so that we walk as children of light, marching forward in the chaos of the world with heaven's wisdom. Heaven's wisdom. James, the third chapter, 13 and following, he contrasts the wisdoms from above and the wisdom that's from beneath. Heaven's wisdom removes the chaos. You know, heaven's wisdom is designed to help us remove those things that would distract and discourage and destroy. So that verse says, by our good works, we show meekness. Don't get sucked into the world's chaos. I know we have strong opinions about politics and elections and this and that, business and recreation, and we have strong opinions. And opinions are not necessarily wrong. But don't let the devil find his opportunity to suck you in the chaos of the world. If that means you have to turn off the news, then turn it off for a while. Right, dear? Don't get sucked into it. If it's going to harm your heart and your life, is it worth it? Trust the Lord. Put your faith in Him. You live godly. You walk as a child of light. But don't let the devil reap confusion. Same thing with the church. He wants disorder. He wanted it in Corinth. And the apostle had to address that. He wants that. He wants the disruption. And look at what causes that disruption there in James 3. Self-seeking. You see that? He said, if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but it's earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. That's what the devil wants. He wants that in your home. He wants that in the church. He wants that in society. He wants it in every crevice and corner of this globe. He wants it in your heart. He wants you to be confused in your heart. He doesn't want you to see clearly the power of truth, the power of faith. He doesn't want to see you see that at all, so he wants you to become confused when somebody doesn't live up to your expectation. You know, as if we haven't sinned like everybody else. You see, so many cracks and crevices, he's just looking for that one opportunity to get us thinking our wisdom is the right way. And we forget about heaven's wisdom. And so, unwittingly, we begin to contribute to the very confusion and chaos that the devil wants. How do we avoid that? Well, among other things, we put on the breastplate of righteousness. Upright conduct and thinking. Righteousness is the idea of being upright. Upright in heart, in attitude, in deed, in conduct, in our treatment of others. as well as, of course, our honoring of God. The breastplate of righteousness. When righteousness is not shielding us, then we're vulnerable to the chaos of the world's wisdom. Integrity, virtue, purity of life, purity of speech, correct thinking, that is godly, biblical thinking. So our emotions and our conduct are all patterned after the righteousness that God gives us in His Word. But the devil, you know, he wants peace where there should be war. Jeremiah 6 and verse 14, they were saying, "Peace, peace," when there is no peace. The false prophets were saying, "Peace, peace. Babylon will not destroy Jerusalem." Jeremiah is standing alone. He says, "Oh yeah, it will." The devil wants peace where there ought to be a battle. Yeah, there ought to be war. Fight the good fight of faith, Paul told Timothy. We're in a battle against the world, against sin, and against error. And our weapons are not like the world's. Now, Paul says, 2 Corinthians 3, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God. Here's the power of God. Not my power, not your power, God's power. Mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. What are these strongholds? These are Satan's fortifications. All the while saying, "Peace, peace." Casting down arguments and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God. The universities are exalted against the knowledge of God. The scientists of our age are exalted against the knowledge of God. The elementary and junior high and high schools are elevated against the knowledge of God. Businesses, politicians are. And if that's what we try to fight them with, the devil loves it. No, he says, no, our weapons cast down arguments. Well, what's the weapon? It's the weapon of truth and righteousness. This the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, Ephesians 6:17. Look, bringing every thought, whatever these weapons are, he says it brings thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The devil does not want that war, so he says peace. He's fighting for your mind. He wants to control the way you think. We have weapons at our disposal that'll answer the arguments of the world. Destroy them. So we have truth. Truth from revealed from heaven. We've got to trust that truth. And we've got to engage the battle. See, Satan doesn't want us to do that. The gospel is a sword. Jesus said, "Don't think I came to bring peace, but a sword." No, the devil says, "Peace, peace." But Jesus said, "I came to set a father against his son, a mother against her daughter. Father-in-law against the daughter-in-law," and so forth. He says a man's enemies will be those of his own house. We're going to stand in that battle. We've got to put on the whole armor of God. It's going to take every bit of it to stand. Because the devil will tell us peace when we ought to be at war. But then again, he's going to say, he's going to want war when we ought to be at peace. See, he flips both of them. He wants war where there ought to be peace. You see, in James, the fourth chapter in verse 1, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desire, from your desire for pleasure that war in your members?" Now, here's a situation where they were lusting, coveting. They were seeking to spend their on their pleasures. You see, he wants Christians to be at war with each other. He wants strife among us. He wants us to have war where there ought to be peace. Remember Abram's words to Lot? He says, "Let there be no strife between you and me, for we are brethren. And between your herdsmen and my herdsmen." Not just Abram and Lot, but it had an effect upon their herdsmen. And so Abram, in deference and sacrifice and surrender, says, the land's before us. Lot, you take your pick. You go where you wish. That solves a lot of problems if we'll have that humble surrendering for the sake of peace. But the devil doesn't want that. No, no. He wants us to dig our heels in and make our stand in an ungodly way. And you see, we're taught the gospel to be of the same mind, one of another. Romans 12 and verse 16. That's not what the devil wants. How can we address that? Answer that. Well, we have to pray with watchful vigilance. Ephesians 6 and verse 18, as he concludes that summary of the armor of God, he said, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." We pray for one another. We have an opportunity to replace war with peace and to pray that we be instruments of that peace in Christ and that unity for which He prayed. Because the devil doesn't want that. No, we defeat him when we do that according to God's will. The devil wants senselessness when we ought to come to our senses. Paul said to Timothy, when you teach the gospel as you're seeking to be the Lord's servant, he said, "Don't strive, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will." Look, as long as we don't come to our senses, we're doing the devil's will. To come to our senses is the idea of removing the foolishness of sin. It reminds me of the young man who finally, when he had wasted all of his inheritance, came to himself. Lord wants us to come to ourselves. The devil does not. He wants us to remain in that wasteland of selfishness and self-interest. But Paul says, through the correction of truth, souls can be gained. The spirit can be calmed, sober thinking can be renewed, and careful living can occur. He said they may come to their senses, see that they may know the truth and repent. The devil doesn't want that. He doesn't want that change. But that's the converting power of the gospel. And then once converted, to walk carefully, redeeming our time. Ephesians 5 and verse 15. The devil wants us to be careful and cautious. I'm sorry, the Lord wants us to be careful and cautious. The devil says, "No, you go your way. You can define that for yourself." No, what we need to help define and understand is the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation to protect our thinking. How we perceive this present age. And think soberly. Think righteously. Think godly in this present age. As Paul would tell Titus. Put on the helmet of salvation. Remember our salvation. Set our mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. And that'll remove the senselessness of sin through the correction of truth. One final thing. The devil wants us to tolerate sin when it should be resisted. "Resist the devil and he'll flee from you," James 4:7 says. "Whom withstand steadfast in the faith," 1 Peter 5 and verse 9. James will explain that it is through humble resistance that the devil will flee. God gives grace to the humble. So he says, submit to God and resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. As we resist him steadfast in the faith, that means we resist based on the revealed truth, not on opinions. Whom withstand steadfast in the faith, contend earnestly for the faith. He'll love for us to contend for opinions rather than the faith, because that's what the devil wants. He wants us to become tolerant of sin and error. So what must we do? We must remove this thinking that we're strong in ourselves. We've got to be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather even reprove them. Ephesians 5 and verse 11. Because if we don't, we become tolerant and accepting of sin, and then the devil has us, as well as the one who's in the sin itself. Then he's got us as well. We're in this wrestling match. The devil, our adversary, he's crafty, he's cunning, he's strong, he's agile, he's deceptive. He is the prince of the power of darkness, Ephesians 2 and verse 2. But you see, what we got to do is surrender ourselves to Jesus. Lord, the devil wants our surrender, but we've got to surrender ourselves to the power of Jesus. Put on His armor and stand when our opponent tries to pin us to the ground and put His hand on our neck and destroy our souls. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Because you see, our victory is in Jesus. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, 1 John 3 and verse 8. And in the Revelation, there's a great picture of the destruction, the killing, the overcoming, the defeat of the old serpent, the devil. And it describes Christians. We'll just close there. It describes the Christians of that day and of any day who will follow this same pattern. It says, "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren," that's the devil, "who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death." The devil knows his time is short. He's going to try to overwhelm us. But greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. We know what the devil wants, and we know what the Lord wants. And so let's commit our hearts and lives to what the Lord wants. That begins by becoming a Christian. If you're lost in your sin, the devil has just what he wants in you. You can change that through the power of Jesus right now, through the salvation that's in Him. If you'll by faith repent and be baptized, He will save you from your sin. And now you can have victory that's in Jesus by being faithful to Him. Brethren, if we, in this struggle with the devil, if we've sinned, fallen short of the glory of the Lord, then let's repent of that. Let's see the strength that comes by being corrected by truth and walking in the light. If we can help you repent, if we can pray together, about those things and encourage that response to the gospel, we pray that you'll come right now. While together we stand.